Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans schedule and the quarterback situation, everything going on in our text line right now. Lots of hot takes on the Titans in our text line this morning. It's good stuff.
There's some back and forth, quite a bit of support for Tannehill. Again, not sitting here saying he's the greatest thing ever, but it's just, you know, everything isn't as bad as some want it to be.
Paul on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Amy has a chart in her office tallying Jared versus Joe victories. I assume Amy Adams drunk. Thanks to Joe's consecutive losses, Stillman will be brought in as a quarterback consultant, and Tannehill will be benched in the second quarter of the Giants game.
I laughed.
Starting off the season. Ryan, sit down, son. Malik Willis is coming in to play quarterback.
Jared's going to be too busy, you know, GMing the Preds.
Oh, yes. Coaching and GMing.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Lots of good coaching ideas from Jared.
Yes. I don't know what you were just showing me with the Detroit Lions and their schedule release, but my goodness, the Lions are the gift that keeps on giving. This was on Twitter.
Yeah, it's
like some mall cop in there,
yeah,
throwing people aside.
They go through each game, and it was a pretty funny joke. You know, when they play the Seahawks, they won't be throwing a Wilson, and they give him a Nerf football.
Yeah,
which, by the way, according to Megan on the text line, the Chargers schedule release was amazing. Henry as a Titan from Attack on Titan was perfect. They had quote AJ was here written on the wall. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
So this is the thing now, though, that teams do the funny, and what the Titans didn't really do one. Is that right?
I didn't see one.
Yeah. So is people going to complain about that?
Ryan Tannehill's filming the video right now.
Yep. Now, if Tannehill would have showed up when he was supposed to, they'd probably have a nice schedule release, funny video.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
By the way, I know we're going to get to the Preds here in just a second, but they were talking about this on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and it is pretty incredible. Have you seen the schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs? Let me just read off like the first eight games for the Chiefs. Arizona on the road. Chargers at home. Colts on the road. Bucks on the road. Raiders at home. Bills at home. Niners on the road. Titans at home. That's your first eight games. If you're the Chiefs, good gracious.
Man.
That is very difficult.
That is, wow. That's crazy. Do they get any breaks?
Jags after that. So.
Yeah, okay. Finally. Now watch the Jags going to go like 10-7 this year.
But that's the thing. They go Jags, and then it's right back to Chargers, Rams, Bengals, Broncos. Like, good gracious.
Because, again, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Broncos, that used to be as much as a gimme as you could have.
Yeah.
It's not a gimme. I don't know how good they're going to be, but we count that among the, ooh, tough game.
Yeah. We'll get back into the schedule coming up a little bit later in the show. Joe, it's been an interesting week here on the program as it comes to the Preds and fans' reaction to the series being swept against Colorado. We've talked about a lot of different things. How do you improve this roster as they move forward here? How aggressive are the Predators going to be in free agency coming up with the cap space that they've created for themselves? And a lot of the discussion has been on the coach and the general manager as well. What does that look like? You know, Elliot Friedman came on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. And I'm not going to say that he reported that John Hines is coming back, but he did say that he was hearing that it sounds like Hines is going to come back. So I don't think that's a big surprise, but it looks like Hines and Poyle are going to be back at this point. So my question for Predators fans is, do you feel any better now that you're 3-4 days removed from the series? And how do you move forward now if Hines and Poyle are going to be back? If those two are back, which is, look, I thought all along they will be, what is the response from Predators fans, and what does that mean for the franchise as they move forward here? It's been an interesting week.
Yeah. So what did he say exactly? Friedman said, I'm hearing he'll be back.
Friedman kind of, the tone that he took yesterday in the interview with, you know, Darren and Willie and D-Mace and Chase and those guys, it was like, I don't really know why people are talking about Poyle right now.
Oh, Poyle, yeah.
He was like, this year, of all years, this year, when I mean, the outside perspective, when you're not here in Nashville, the outside perspective is, yeah, everybody picked the Predators to suck this year and they made the playoffs. Like, that's the perspective outside.
Yeah. Which, yeah, and that's that in itself is an interesting point this week that's been batted around. Because, look, I do think, like, between the players, between Hines, everybody, like, that got talked about way too much.
Sometimes when not, it didn't even have anything to do with the question.
Yeah, like what do you guys need to do? You know, better on the penalty kill. But you know, you guys didn't pick us to go to the playoffs. Yeah. Why? No, okay, we know this. Got way over discussed. Okay, it just became the thing that you keep going back to, which is usually what happens when you don't have a great answer for something. But yes, preseason expectations matter, and this goes back to, you know, like an argument with Jared. You know. Are they everything? I mean, no, but the context of a season is always seen through that lens. It always is. And Jared and all of us. I mean, I brought up the point of Butch Jones, but there's a million points like that. And you can even go with seeding. Like, for example, when we talk about the Titans last year in the playoffs, what do we talk about? They were the one seed.
Yep.
Now, that's different than, you know, preseason experts and media and polls and that. But it's still – it's all part – I mean, Vegas odds, it all is – together to form the what should happen this year question. And you do see something through that. So I made the point of Butch Jones, which Jared hit on a million times, and everybody did. Pick to win the SEC East, and then what happens in 2016? Of course, preseason. So you underachieve or you overachieve relative expectations. It's always going to be part of the discussion. Yes, it matters. Are they overemphasizing it? Yes, they are. But to your point with Friedman, that's kind of how people look at it. Is like, basically, did you have a really bad year, really good year, unexpected year? The Preds were better than most people thought they'd be. The Poile discussion locally, though, is more of just the long-term thing.
Yeah.
The, you know, the whatever you want to, however you want to say it, you know, one time past the second round, as you talked about yesterday. I mean, that's the larger discussion, but I'm with you. I'm not surprised a move isn't made. I heard Jared and Caroline talking yesterday, and Jared said, well, basically like he was depressed by it. And again, the Hines thing, sick of arguing the Hines thing. But if you talk to people inside an organization, which I know Jared does, and then they are telling you, yeah, you're like, really, like he's good. Shouldn't you listen to that? Like, because it's beyond like the obvious stuff that I think we all see. Like, he's done a pretty good job. Like, he's even said on the air, like, well, people in there are telling me. So listen to people who have an idea and have more information than you. Regardless, I'm sick of arguing about Hines. Poile, to me, is the different thing. I'm not surprised he'd come back. Is it basically like next time that they really dip, then he's in trouble? Who knows? You may be right that it's just never going to – like, it's going to be on his terms.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I view it, which – we can get through a whole different set of discussions about that as we move forward here, too. But it looks like both those guys are going to be back. Now, I will say, I still don't have an email of when John Hines and David Poile are going to be addressing the media for their season-ending press conference. I would guess that's going to happen at some point early next week. That's just kind of my guess on the matter. But we'll see. I guess until we get that, we don't know. But
until we get that, we don't know that they're going to be employed next year, I guess.
I guess. So we'll see what happens on that front. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including get to a few questions that we think need to be asked of David Poile when that day comes, and Poile and Hines address the media. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 106.3 The Game. Got Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
One thing I want to get to, I'm reading Michael Russo's column, ripping the Wild for blowing it again, their postseason history. Because someone asked on the text line about Fiala. He is an RFA, but here's a line from Russo, Michael Russo's column on the Wild. Quote, Kevin Fiala followed a 33-goal, 85-point career-best regular season with no goals and 8 penalties in the series and might have stamped his ticket out of town via trade this offseason, end quote. Oh, by the way, No, let me keep going with the quote. Let me keep going with the paragraph. Ryan Hartman, after 34 goals in the regular season, had no goals, end quote. So there you go. You're Fiala, Hartman all year. You know, they've been amazing. I mean, it's one playoff series, but interesting to consider that. So the Wild may be out on Fiala after a 33-goal year, 85-point season. Is Russo overreacting?
Well, they just paid Kaprizov, who is quickly emerging as one of the top players in the game.
Yes. He's a legit superstar.
Quite frankly, the only reason they were ever hanging around in this series was Kaprizov, because St. Louis is way better than they are. Like I said that going in the series. They're way better than Minnesota. So Minnesota's out again in the first round. You know, they've been, and I think you just said this, and I think I read this yesterday. They've been in the playoffs 9 of the past 10 years. They have 2 playoff series wins to show for it, and they haven't been past the second round since 2003, where they made it to the conference final.
They haven't been past first round since 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's always, so grass is right? always green.
Well, that's a legitimate question. Like, who would you rather be right now, the Preds or the Wild? Like, the Wild cannot get out of their own way and haven't been able to for a long time.
And I think a lot of people would say, I'll take their roster over the Preds, which I get.
Could be about to change.
But another thing is, you know, goaltender is a big part of your roster, right?
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I'd feel better about having the Preds roster.
Well, by the way, we made all this big deal about Marc-Andre Fleury.
Benched.
And guess who started last night? Cam Talbot.
Yeah, which is a questionable decision, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, obviously that speaks to Marc-Andre. Maybe not, you know, this happens with goalies.
Yeah.
He's on the wrong side of things.
Ryan in Nashville texting in says, as a full season ticket holder, going to be tough watching the arena fill up with visiting fans and watch the team struggle to win every night. This is coming from Ryan in Nashville, reacting to it looking like John Hines and David Poile is coming back. I don't even know if John Hines and David Poile were ever in any danger of not coming back.
No, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm sticking with full agreement from Adam Vingan on someone speaking to the direction beyond or above David Poile.
Yeah.
But I would tend to agree with you.
So, go ahead.
I just say you asked how people felt. This is an unnamed texture. Feel like bleep what people think Preds will be competitive next year just because the calendar flipped.
Yeah.
End quote. Anyway.
It's been an interesting week.
Don't swear on the text line.
On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, when that time comes, which I think at this point will probably be early next week, I think, when Hines and Poile address the media, let's just specifically with Poile. What do you want to hear from David Poile? What do you think needs to be asked of David Poile? When that press conference comes around, what intrigues you the most about the topics that are going to get brought up that the fans want to hear from coming up next week?
Well, I'm going to go to, gosh, what's the name of the caller? He's called all the shows. And it's not like it's a completely out of left field sentiment
Wayne?
Or thought. Yeah, there you go. But that is, I mean, an absolute question that needs to be directly asked and answered is, are you able to spend to the cap? I mean, I've looked at all of this, and I mean, I would agree with Willie. Like, this has followed the stated path so far.
Well, and he's probably going to say yeah to that, even if he's not able to.
So you're saying he's lying?
Well, I'm saying this. It's not a great business move to be like, no, I can't. I mean, if the fans hear that, they're going to go nuts.
Yes. No. So, and then he may get fired.
Yeah, exactly.
But so it still needs to be asked.
It needs to be asked for sure. I'm just telling you, he's probably going to say that there's no restrictions. My follow-up would then be, you know, if you get through this offseason and they're still not anywhere close to the cap, okay, well then why are you not spending to the cap?
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is the time. Again, if you are – if you're keeping this core together, which as we've talked about is an aging core, then it doesn't make sense anymore to – I mean, it's you got to go one way or the other. Break it up and really go young and rebuild, or then you got to – try to load up and hope you hit on everything that you're going for and create a better team, create a better roster for next year. I mean, another question is obviously Forsberg and the state of that negotiation, but then the follow-up to that to me is if you, you know, does essentially, like, does the Forsberg signing dictate your direction?
Yeah.
Like, does the Forsberg signing or non-signing change your strategy? I mean, I would think it would have to, but I mean, I'm very interested to hear the response. If you don't sign Forsberg, I personally have a hard time seeing them being a playoff team next year. Granted, as people have brought up, we've talked about, you know, okay, well, if you get Johnny Gaudreau, then you've just replaced a high-scoring forward with a high-scoring forward. Very different kind of forward. But I've got to think that that negotiation dictates a lot of what comes after it.
Right? I would think so, too. And we'll get into this part of it a little bit later. But Elliot Friedman had some pretty interesting comments that made me kind of raise my eyebrow a little bit yesterday on the Forsberg contract situation. And essentially what he said was, you know, the last that he had heard, which was before the playoffs, they had not quite nailed down. Like, everybody keeps saying, like, every day on the text line we'll get like, it's trade protection. That's what they're fighting over. Like, it's trade protection is the big hang-up between the Predators and Philip Forsberg. And Friedman said yesterday that the last that he had heard before the playoffs started was that they have not figured out the AAV yet, like the average annual value.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. So
remember, at one point on one of Poyle's interviews with Darren Donick and Chase, he did specifically say the number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, that would be if they've figured out whatever they're going to do with the trade protection, I mean, to me, that's a big deal. If it just comes down to the number. Now, without knowing the numbers, because they could be miles apart.
Yeah.
By the way, we never followed up on this yesterday, but it just popped into my head. Duchesne's trade protection kicks in the last 3 years. It's partial. So, by my understanding, he could be freely dealt right now.
He could.
And I'm not saying they should trade Matt Duchesne for sure, but there is an example of someone who right now I think would fetch assets if that's the way you want to go.
Yeah. Then the question is, looking around the league, who can and is willing to take on a 32 or an $8 million per year contract at a guy that's going to be 32 years old? I don't know. Maybe there is. All it takes is one.
It's a fair question.
All it takes is one.
It's a fair question. It's at least much different from a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't give him away.
There was no chance. Yes. Scott on the text line says, if Minnesota is truly out on Fiala, is there any chance he comes back to Nashville? I doubt it. Don't think so. I mean, I've seen crazier stuff happen in the NHL, but I don't think so. I think he would probably eyeball somewhere else would be my guess. I don't think he'd have much interest in coming back.
He could be traded.
He could.
Then he'd still have to, you know, he's an RFA, so.
Send the Wild back Luke Cunning and get a cheaper player on the roster. Get Kevin Fiala back here.
Just keep swapping players back and forth.
Now, the Poyle thing is going to be interesting. I agree. Like, I want to know, do you have the ability to spend to the cap? You know, obviously the Forsberg situation is going to get a lot of attention next week. You know, barring Forsberg signing before then, which I guess is a possibility, but I'd be surprised by that at this point. You know, another thing I want to know is, like, is the plan to continue to go young? Because they've talked about that. They've gone young, and that's what they've done the last couple of years, and I think Willie's done a decent job of laying that out the last few days. Is that going to continue to be the plan? Do you want to be aggressive in free agency? And I don't know that he's going to, like, lay out his entire free agent map that he's got coming up this offseason. But I think the way the Predators, even if they sign Forsberg, I think the way that the Predators handle free agency this summer is going to tell you a lot about what they're thinking. Like, they've got a ton of cap space, even if they sign Forsberg back. They need to go get at least one, maybe two, top six forwards. They need to go get somebody on defense. I'm not saying you got to go get like a John Klingberg and pay him $9 million a year, but they need to get somebody on defense that you feel good about maybe playing in your top four. Like, these are things that need to happen for this Predators team to be competitive next year, and I'm interested to see the way they view that. The money part of it aside and the ability to spend the cap, is that something they want to do, or are they still content on saying, we've got Jeremy Davies, we've got David Ferentz, we've got all these guys in the pipeline, that's what we're going to do. We're bringing up young guys.
Yeah, and then there's also just the philosophical – so competitive transition – basically, or competitive rebuild, whatever, I mean, to me, that what that says is you got to make the playoffs every year, right? I mean, is that not? I mean, you want to have a team that's at least good enough to make the playoffs while you're doing this, right? But at what point is that not good enough? I mean, because from the fan perspective, I think we're about there, right?
Yeah.
From a fan perspective, it's like, okay, now pedal to the metal, or go the other way and really rebuild. But the just good enough to get in, if that's the perception anyway from the outside, that, I mean, I think that people, that's wearing on people. So is the plan going exactly according to, you know, how he envisioned it, or is there, you know, is there like a fork in the road?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 3. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. As always, we'll take your submission, 615-737-1025. Rex Road having some fun going through the comments from Wild fans on Russo's story on The Athletic. They're reacting very well to being eliminated from the playoffs last night, as you might expect.
And then, meanwhile, my phone, I got Jared. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Jared. The people inside the Yeah, never mind. I'm not gonna do it.
It's not worth it.
I'm not gonna do it.
He enjoyed that I've changed his name into my phone to Skip Stillman yesterday.
Skip Stillman. Yes. Skipman.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, bringing back David and John is whatever, but bringing back Forsberg just keeps us from being worse. It doesn't make us better, and our young guys aren't special enough to change anything. So, David, how can we actually be better? That's a question that Heidi wants to know of David Poile as they head into this offseason.
I mean, I hear you, Heidi, but I guess what I would say is, how are you going to be better if Forsberg isn't here? Anything's possible. Well, we talk about the Wild, right? You know, Suter and Parise. I mean, like, they've found a way to be better, but also they do have a legit star that they're built around, and they had some people. They had some people rise up and have really good seasons for them, and then, of course, it didn't matter in the postseason anyway. I mean, you're not going to me, you're not going to be better next year if you don't have him. I can't see it realistically. Am I wrong?
Oh, I mean, without knowing what the corresponding move would be, no, I can't see that at all. I mean, and we've talked about this too, not only from just the production of Forsberg himself, but him and Duchesne together were so good. I mean, how much does Duchesne's production take a step back if Forsberg's not there with him? Now, let me just go ahead and say this. I expect both Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchesne's production to drop off a little bit next year. Like,
yes.
To me, the idea of them both scoring over 40 goals again, and I know Duchesne was talking the other day about how, like, this should be like the bar, like the floor for them now in terms of the expectations. I was like, oh, okay, we'll see how that goes. He's like, well, maybe not Roman. He had 96 points as a defenseman, first time it's been done since the early 90s. I was like, okay, well, 40 goals is a heck of a bar.
Yeah.
But I just, like, let's say Forsberg signs a big contract. He's making over $9 million a year, and he scores 32 goals next year. Are people going to be happy with that? I think they probably should be, because 32 is still a pretty good year. But are people going to be happy that he goes from 42 to 32 the year after he signs a deal? Probably not going to be. Like, there's probably going to be some people saying, what happened to 40 goals? Thought you were paying him for 40 goals.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if you get paid $9 million a year, then you should be pushing 40, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, to your point, like, we said this before. If Forsberg, if you could tell me right now that Forsberg, And it really, like, in the five, let's say in the next 5 years, because I just assume the end of these deals are all bad. But in five years that he averages 30 goals a year and plays, averages, you know, 70 games of play a year, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah.
No, he's not the absolute top-tier superstar But
but if you're making $9 million, you're also not getting paid like the top tier superstar. I mean, you're getting paid a lot of money, but you know, Connor McDavid's making $12 million a year. And I'm not, look, Philip Forsberg's not close to Connor McDavid.
No.
So I understand that
would still be, that'd be 75% of his pay per my math right here in this noggin, right on the fly like that. So to me, that's worth it. Now, you can't guarantee that. You don't know that for sure. But you're right that next year in particular, after hitting 40 and then after signing the big deal, it'll be heavy scrutiny. But, I mean, again, I don't know. I don't understand anybody who – if you don't want this team to completely get blown up, and maybe you do, but if you don't and you're hoping for competitiveness moving forward, I don't know how you could not want Forsberg back.
Jeremy on the text line says, the Preds are this generation's version of my childhood generation of the Braves. High expectations, make the playoffs every year, can't win the big one. This is coming from Jeremy on the text line.
Yeah, well, back then, for most of that, making the playoffs was a much bigger deal than – it's much more difficult in baseball. Yeah. Than making, you know, like those Braves were one of the top handful of teams in the league year after year. And yeah, they, I mean, so to me, like they were an elite-ish team that would flop in the postseason. Right now we're talking about a team that's not elite. I mean, it's not among the top. We're talking about a team that's at the bottom of teams that make, you know, a 16-team playoff and a 32-team, I mean, you know, half the league. So I don't mean to dunk on your comparison, but it's not very good. I'm sorry.
Got a text that says, I'd rather Forsberg show up in the playoffs. Regular season stats are obviously a plus, but he hasn't done much postseason scoring lately. I hear that. Now, you have to be productive in the regular season to get to the playoffs. But certainly, we've talked about Forsberg before. You know, he's had, you know, 17, he was great in the playoffs. 18, he was phenomenal in the playoffs. 19 wasn't very good. In the bubble, he was pretty good against Arizona. And then the last 2 years, not great in the playoffs from Philip Forsberg. That's... if this team is, you know, if they continue to make the playoffs here over the next 3-4 years, in order for them to have a chance of doing anything there, they have to have guys like Forsberg and Yossi and Johansson and Duchesne be productive in the playoffs, and they have to have them all do it at the same time. And that hasn't happened the last couple of years.
Yeah, and they need top shelf goaltending too, which wasn't really available to them this year. But no, Forsberg, look, that's right now they're going to get those negotiations fired back up. I'm mentioning that if I'm David Poyle's side, like, you know, I mean, you gotta make your case for why you don't want to pay someone $10 million a year or whatever he may be asking for. I mean, Forsberg knows that he's going to get paid more money if he goes somewhere else.
In terms of annual average value, yes.
Exactly.
Right.
But then that
extra year
plus state income tax situation, got to do the math on that.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I stumbled across this podcast, and I need to go find the name of it, where Duchesne was on, and he was on it like a couple months ago, and he was talking about his free agency period. And he was like, yeah, I mean, you factor in a lot of things, and one of them is state income tax, and that's a big deal. Like, you make a lot more money in Nashville and Vegas and Dallas and all these different places. So, you know, sometimes that's a big deal to players. Sometimes it's not as big a deal as maybe it should be, but I don't know. It's interesting to me. Friedman getting on there yesterday and saying that they've not really nailed down the AAV yet. Like, you would think that's got to be getting close to nailing that thing down. Like, there's a pretty good idea of window of where most people think it should be.
Well, look, I still believe that the first half of his answer, I know that means we're parsing words, but I think the first half of that answer about direction of franchise was a little bit of a glimpse that that's part of what's going through his mind, which I think it should.
Yeah.
Totally don't blame him. Chip from Mount Juliet says, Heidi's comment is right. Forsberg is status quo. It's maintained the mediocrity year after year. Well, I can't sit here and say, if they sign Forsberg, watch out, NHL. But
look, guys, the bottom line is this.
I think you're a little bit off.
You've been clamoring for elite forwards for years. And look, I get it. I've been clamoring for elite forwards too. Well, the fact of the matter is, numbers-wise, Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchesne this year were elite. They were elite forwards. Now, you didn't have anything to go with them at forward. Tolvanen was a no-show. Cunningham was a no-show. You know, Johansson was really good this year. He's by himself on the second line. Like, yes, there's depth to it, but to sit here and act like, you know, Forsberg was the reason they didn't do better than finish in eighth this year just doesn't make any sense. They put up elite numbers. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that again because I just said, like, I expect – those two guys, the numbers to not be as good next year. But Forsberg, there's a big difference in this team with Forsberg and this team without him, I think.
Yeah. So if you're without him, I mean, again, you got even more cap space. Either way, you got cap space to go do stuff. But is there a reasonable path if you lose him to make the playoffs next year?
I don't know. It looks like it would be tough. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kurt from Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Kurt, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Quick question. Why does – it seems like national media gives Poile a walk on not signing Forsberg before the deadline. He did it with Suter. We lost a great asset. And you know, it's like going to your refrigerator, taking a drink of milk, saying it's rotten, put it back in and saying maybe it'll be better tomorrow. If he couldn't sign him before, what makes you think he's going to sign him now?
Well, I mean, he couldn't sign Mikael Granlund before the deadline last year either, and couldn't sign Mattias Ekholm before the deadline last year either, and both of those guys have re-signed. I mean, Look, I understand the Ryan Suter situation happened. I was here for it. That was also 10 years ago. Like, that's been a long time, and he's gone through several different free agent situations since then. And the second part of that is, we've said on the show, if you get through this process and Forsberg doesn't sign, David Poile should absolutely be accountable for that. That's horrible asset management if that happens.
We've been talking about that all year. What do you say? National media gives David Poile a walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's been talked about ad nauseum. If he loses him – and then he hadn't traded him for. If he signs him, then okay, he signs him. You're moving forward with Forsberg, which again, I can't argue with. And I understand this year the pressure to make the playoffs. But if he loses him, no. Back on the map. Big time.
You'll bring it back?
Nashville, mad at Poile.
Thank you.
I kind of love that, though.
Thank you.
See, sometimes I forget some of these puns. You got to keep recycling them.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. Game 6 tonight between the Bucks and the Celtics. I think the Bucks win at home tonight. They win the series. Give me Giannis over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Days Delta 8, the highest quality standard of Delta 8. Both Rex Road and Michelle were out last week with Call Your Shot Friday, so we've wiped the slate clean. Michelle Knezvik, would you like to kick us off this week with your edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to. Okay, so first, I had a called shot that I did a little while ago, but I called that the Western Conference Finals would be the Suns and Memphis. So with that being said, I think that Memphis brings it to Game 7. They win at home on a buzzer beater.
Okay. It's a buzzer beater.
That's a shot.
By
shot.
Steven Adams.
Oh, even better. The Kiwi.
Now that whole thing is an incredible shot. If you get that entire shot right,
yeah.
Actually, I'm going to be freaked out. Freaky Friday. Freaky Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, today. Okay. Next, the Celtics also bring it to Game 7 and win the series. But tonight, Jason Tatum has 25 points and has the winning shot against Milwaukee, whether it's a foul shot or any type of shot.
Okay.
And then lastly, the Heat win it all.
I put that out there last week.
Oh, you
put
did?
That out last week. Look at you guys both picking Showing the Heat to win it all. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going full There's NBA.
No bias
on this
in that
one.
Whatsoever. Joe Rexrode, your called shots of the week.
All right. I think this absolutely counts as a shot.
Okay.
Maple Leafs win Game 7. Auston Matthews in overtime.
That's a shot.
That is a shot. That's probably. I mean, I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm going Maple Leafs.
I hope you're
win.
Wrong because it would be hilarious.
Yeah, well, but it's almost like, wouldn't it be? It would be. Would it be cool? It'd be kind of cool if they won, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't.
No, not really. No. Yeah. Okay, I guess you're.
They're
probably
so arrogant up there. No, you just you continue to lose.
1967. Believe me, I love laughing at the Leafs. You know, decades of futility, but I think they're going to actually get it done this time. Another called shot. The Bruins win Game 7 in
Ooh,
Carolina.
I like that.
That's
Boston, baby.
I mean, again, no road team has been really competitive, right? I mean, it's been pretty much lopsided games for the home team. I think the pressure now gets to the Canes. I think the Bruins win Game 7. The Rangers win 2 in a row Ooh. And advance past the Penguins.
See you later, Sid. The Rangers come back from 3-1 down, according to Rexrode.
And finally, I'm not calling a shot. I think Golden State's going to win tonight, but I mean, it's not a shot. I mean, I don't. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, the shot is your prediction.
Yeah. Wait, I have one more.
What's that?
She's
okay.
Right. Sorry, okay. I'm poor thing you guys right now.
Jesus.
The Warriors have over 20 turnovers.
Well, is that a shot, though?
Over 25 turnovers.
Okay, well.
And Robbie wins our charity golf tournament on Monday.
Oh, that's a shot. Ooh. I would just tell you, that's not going to happen.
But can there be an individual winner?
I don't know.
I don't know, but well, Robbie
gonna,
is it.
We're going to proclaim you the winner no matter what.
Okay, thank you.
My last one is that the Mavs win Game 7. Luka with a triple-double.
Ooh, I like that. So down go the Suns. I'd hate to see Chris Paul lose.
No, I'm sure you would.
Really break me up.
No, yeah.
Your BFF.
Really hate to see James Harden lose last night, too.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Two shots in the second half.
I like
James Harden.
All right, my called shots. Tampa Bay wins Game 7 in overtime on a goal by Steven Stamkos. Steven Stamkos, the game winner in overtime for the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7. And then the entire nation of Canada collapses right there watching it happen. And by the way, the crowd, I stayed up and watched the game last night in overtime for Tampa and Toronto. When Braden Point scored, like there's thousands of people outside of the arena in Toronto. And just the crowd shot of their faces when Steven Stamkos, when Braden Point scored that goal, they're like, oh, God, here we go again. It was amazing. That's why, I hope they don't win. It never gets old.
Well,
watching that.
Yeah, I mean, it totally adds up that they're not going to win.
That's right. Like, the shot is not Tampa Bay winning in Game 7. I'm just attaching a specific
goal score. Yeah, you got a specific goal score. That's fine.
Connor McDavid has 4-plus points in Game 7 for the Oilers. He has been unbelievable in this series. And I know if they end up losing in Game 7, he's going to get crushed. Draisaitl's going to get crushed. And Draisaitl, by the way, last night was playing basically on one leg. Like, he was gutting it out last night. It's kind of amazing that it's going to take 7 games for the Oilers to win this series, if they can win it in Game 7.
If they
7.
Do.
But I think McDavid wills this team to a series win, and he has 4-plus points in Game 7. He's been incredible so far. And finally, the Milwaukee Bucks will win by double digits tonight, 10 or more points. I think Boston had it there for them in Game 5, and that was where they lost the series. You can't blow a lead like that in the fourth quarter at home against the defending champs and then go on the road and win tonight. I think they're done tonight. I think the Bucks dominate at the Pfizer Forum tonight.
Can't let Drew Holiday just take the ball from you over and over so you don't even get shots.
I want to protect the ball.
Boy, that's a tough one, man. No, I think you're probably right on that one. So, good shots. We have no shots. I'm surprised there aren't any, like, Preds moves. I was thinking about it. I just couldn't come up with a good one. I mean, I guess I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like Forsberg. I guess we've all called shots on Forsberg, which honestly, I forgot what the shots have been in the past. We can call new ones.
I said he would resign 8 years, $8.5 million.
You're sticking with it. That stands. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Donovan from Wisconsin texting in says, called shot, the Blues will beat the Avs in Game 7. So, Blues beat the Avs in 7 games coming up.
Is Jared Bednar out?
I don't know.
If that happens, can't get past second round?
I don't think so, but man, it'd be, I don't know. I'm not willing to say that he absolutely won't be, and if I'm Barry Trotz, maybe I'm waiting another week to see what happens there, because that'd be a heck of a spot to walk into if you're Barry Trotz at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan also says the Kings win in 7, and they score the score is 6-5 in overtime. This comes from Donovan on the text line.
That'd be fun.
Ben on the text line says, called shot, Bucks Suns repeat in the finals, and Paul misses a game or two with a hamstring, and the Bucks win the championship in 6 games. This is coming from Ben on the text line.
Look at Greg A. Called shot, the Predators shed a bunch of deadweight contracts. They signed Johnny Gaudreau and Philip Forsberg. Stanley Cup, baby.
Wow.
What are the deadweight? I mean, we could dig in on that. What are the deadweight contracts we're talking about here? Talking about the big contracts?
Johansson and Duchesne, do they qualify anymore?
I don't know, but if you lose those guys, I want to see the pathway.
Yeah. Clay and Cunningham texting in says, I've already called my shot. Barry Trotz signs a $10 million annual average value deal with the Preds to coach and play a top 6 forward role. This coming from Clay and Cunningham. So Barry Trotz, player coach, $10 million per year. Going to be in the top 6.
Okay. I like it. Wait, there's a rip on the media here too, even though it's not a called shot. Well, we can save that for later.
Mice, go ahead and do it.
As far as the Titans and schedule, you mice in the media are afraid to speak the truth. Little mice.
Okay.
The idiot OC overused Derrick Henry to shadow his idiotic play calling. If the Titans don't pick up 3 points from above average special teams play, they will not make the playoffs. Thanks, John Robinson. There's a lot going on there.
So
I should have read the whole thing before deciding to read it aloud.
What are we not speaking the truth about in the
schedule? I don't know. We're the mice. We're the quiet mice.
That's too much before 8 a.m.
You know what we've been doing? You know what we've been doing all offseason so long so far is praising the Titans. That's what we've been doing.
Yes,
I'm going to go with AJ Brown, and you know Ryan Tannehill will be just fine moving forward, and everything's good. They're going to Super Bowl next year.
Very calm day after their AJ Brown trade. All is well. Nothing to see here.
This has been Call Your Shot Friday, presented by Days Delta 8, the highest quality standard of Delta 8. Speaking of the Titans, coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the schedule and what this could mean for the Titans and their record next year. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.